So who do we have on the call so far?
Dave Griffith.
Hi, it's Mark Botnick.
This is Dan Strelsky.
This is Dr. Alan Saatchi.
Katie Cadwell just came on.
Bob Veach just came on.
Dr. Mathis is on.
Carl Wolfton.
And Dr. Mine.
Dr. Abram Burr.
Lisa Larson.
I'm waiting for Dr. Marangel or Dr.
On.
You're on.
Yeah, I just got on.
Okay. Is Dr. Davis on yet?
Yes. Hi, I just got on.
You just got on. Okay. Do we have Dr. Tran? Not yet. Okay. Do we have Dr. Stashko? Not yet. Okay. The topic this evening is the digestive system. And for all of you that are new that are coming onto the call, the way that it works is that we have some of the docs that have been working with the products for a long time give their clinical experiences on a particular topic. Today is the digestive system, and it's an interactive call, so you're free to ask questions. At the end of the call, after we've wrapped up the topic, then it goes to an open forum, of which you are free to ask any kind of questions, whether they're related to subtle energy and the Vital Force products or how you work with other things into the protocol. It just becomes a sharing. The purpose of this call is to help everyone to understand how best to use energetics, and it's a learning and sharing experience, and it's your call. So please feel free to ask questions, and I think that we probably have quite a few people on the line right now. So Dr. Marangel or Dr. Davis, which one would like to start on the topic?
Oh, it's always fun to have Jeff go first.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, I just appreciate you leading off.
Okay, well, we'll try. Well, it's good to hear everybody on here tonight. You know, these calls keep getting bigger and better all the time, and it's a lot of fun discussing the different topics. And regardless of which way your cap tilts, practitioner-wise, whether you're a naturopath or a family physician or chiropractor or integrative practitioner or whatever, it seems that you rarely see people that are ill that don't have some degree of digestive dysfunction somewhere along the line. And most of us are strongly aware that gastrointestinal system and its function is of prime importance to life and to assimilating and metabolizing and utilizing nutrients. Before energy tools, we often wondered why certain things wouldn't work for us. We put all the right things in, we put all the right probiotics and the right nutrients and the right homeopathic preparations and herbal drainage remedies and so forth and so on. And very often, you wouldn't get the gains that you would expect from the amount of effort that you were putting forth, especially in trying to help people resolve their digestive difficulties and thus free up a lot more energy to the entire system for health and well-being. And I kind of liken the energy tools now to baking a cake. You can take all the ingredients for the cake, the flour and the sugar and the eggs and the milk, and beat them all together and put them in a pan and set them in the oven. But if you don't have any energy to make it go, all you have is the batter sitting there, and you never really get the cake. And the energy tools are really the catalyst that helps people that have chronic illness and dysbiosis and dysfunction to begin the process of recovery. I always tell my patients, if you could have got better, you would have. You wouldn't be sitting here in front of me. If all the other things you were trying, whether it was on one side of the street or the other, had worked, they wouldn't be in your office. They wouldn't be in my office. And so we try to find novel approaches and not necessarily duplicate previous failures in therapeutic approaches. So many times I've seen people that were just a well person waiting for a place to happen. They just didn't have enough energy to conduct the business of their body. The body functions on a hierarchy of needs, and it doles out its energy resources as it sees fit based on what its availability is. Now, I've trained a lot of people with electroacupuncture and energetic medicine, and years ago, I kept running against the wall of in electroacupuncture when a balanced meridian really isn't a balanced meridian. And I'm just going to make a little discourse on that so we can bring it back to what the energy tools do for us and get the concept in there. I've seen very ill people, people with terminal diseases, et cetera, and you know they're hypoergic, don't have enough energy in their system, and they're struggling, and they're fighting with the disease, and yet that person can have a relatively balanced or even what we would consider a perfectly balanced energy system when we measure the meridian systems. And I would always think, gee, how is that possible? I know this person is ill, I know they're sick, and yet they have balanced energy. Well, if you understand energetic medicine, you can see after a while that the body is marshaling all its resources and doling them out effectively over the entire system. And I would dub this a pathological balance, or just doing the best with the resources that were available, almost like being stranded on a desert island with limited resources and having to ration food and water and separating it meticulously so everyone had the same quantity, even though there wasn't enough to go around to satisfy anybody. And what the energy tools do, especially in the digestive system, is add the energy or restore an energy that was never appropriately there in the first place, which is one of the phenomena that we're starting to see more and more with pediatrics, where in some of the cases we've seen that certain individuals have ever had normal digestion, absorption, metabolism. And so I'd like to springboard off of these few concepts tonight with Dr. Davis and with the rest of you to look at the connection between energy and digestion, because we know, or many of us have heard, that almost 35% of our energy expenditure in the body is spent on digesting, absorbing, metabolizing, and eliminating foodstuffs for their value. If you think of the large chunks of material we put into our body and how minute they have to be broken down to be absorbed at the cellular level, it's just an incredible phenomenon, incredible. The digestion and absorption of nutrients from gross material that we call food. It just boggles the mind when you think about the transitions that everything has to go through. And it requires tremendous amounts of energy. You know, I'd like to kind of spring off of that. And one of the things I'd like to address and make sure that we talk about tonight is the relationship of stress with eating. And I'm sure Dr. Davis will pick up on that and he can run with that, because our society equates two words that shouldn't go together, fast and food. Okay? And we have the GI Aid and GI Aid with vanadium and other things, including Healthy Mouth, which is something we should make sure we include this evening as the beginning of the digestive process. And I also want to make sure that we include tranquility and harmony and stress relief and those sort of things, because many, many times when we find people with chronic gastrointestinal problems, they have chronic emotional problems relative to eating or stress at the dinner table in a family setting. And those are things that you're going to learn to explore in your case history taking. So I've tried to raise more questions and give answers at this point so I can open the floor a little bit to Dr. Davis and to the other doctors on the call.
Well, thanks, Jeff.
Kicked it back to you, didn't
I? Well, yeah, that's good. Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Dr. Stephen Davis. I practice out here on the West Coast. Jeff practices out there on the East Coast. And what's always wonderful is that when Jeff gets started, I appreciate his attitude. I appreciate his constant pursuit for excellence. I also appreciate the fact that he has done it and tried just about everything. And for those of us that are still in this world, and particularly who have left conventional thought, have gone into the alternative world and have tried numerous things, the bottom line is, for Jeff and I and a number of you on the call tonight, is frustration with the inability to get sick people well. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who take hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of products for the purpose of getting well. They have families they're trying to support. They have families that they're trying to deal with. They have family members stressing over, why are you doing all this stuff? And they flat out don't feel well, but they're not in a significant disease state phenomena that the conventional marketplace can actually cure them, suppress symptoms, but not cure them. So they've opted to go alternative, and they go from one particular practitioner to another, seeking the magic solution, if you will, to be able to help them overcome the blockades or the illness they have. few years ago, I was introduced to Soto Energy and Dr. Krohn, and in the process of trying to understand what it is that we have, up on their website at energytools.com, there are several articles and research projects that are up there, and I find it fascinating from time to time to take a look at them. But here's a couple little bullet points. Bullet point number one is our physical structures do not first exist and then radiate energy, which is the conventional thinking. Our energy determines our physical structures. This is a quote by Dr. Chen, who is up there on the website in one of the lectures, I believe, that Dr. Urey gave. And this has kind of haunted me for a while because it's exactly what we're struggling with. We are constantly putting in large biochemical substances, constantly putting in whole food substances. We're constantly manipulating diet lifestyle for the purpose of that individual to develop enough energy to actually move forward. And in the European world, as well as what's trickled across the ocean here in the States, the energy phenomena is that disease is a low-energy state. Health is a high-energy state. And when folks are in a low-energy state, they need energy to move forward. And the unfortunate thing is not being obtained adequately through this process of eating, digesting, absorbing, metabolizing, and then discharging. Each of those events is an energy expenditure. Like Jeff was saying, 30 to 45% of the energy of the body is used just for digestion. That's why when folks get done with large meals, sometimes they feel like taking a nap. The absorption utilization process and even the discharge of the garbage that has been accumulated, it too takes energy. There's a whole group of folks looking at different energy systems. Not to bore you with this energy stuff, but the point is that what subtle energy does, the tools that we have at our disposal, is they move this stagnant energy plasma that we call human beings, trying to move them out of their sick state into a more of a healthy state. Some of the research up there, if you haven't read it, this is just an observation. A couple of things that I saw that really tickled me is that subtle energy is able to regenerate 80% of the cells that are exposed to gamma radiation. And we know that gamma radiation basically nukes everything. We also see up there that by putting one drop on a particular acupuncture point is that visual excitation was demonstrated with a PET and MRI scan. And also subtle energy applied to water created a 35% yield growth of wheat, pinto beans, and carrots. So the phenomena is no matter what energy tools touches in the subtle energy phenomena with their different formulas, what they have is it has been shown to demonstrate a uniqueness of movement that's not been seen with any other tool. And so when I look at that, I say, okay, what you have is in the discussion up there is things such as capturing the chi, the prana, is capturing the subtle energy, is capturing the vital force. Whatever we want to call it and whatever we try to call it is that it's different than anything I've ever used. I've used whole food forms. I've used pharmaceutical-grade nutritional supplements. I've used pharmaceutical-grade regular meds. I've used a variety of different dieting behaviors and lifestyles for folks who have digestive stress. So to bring it back to the digestive, focus on that briefly. What I like to do is borrow from Dr. Jeffrey Bland, and there's a collection of physicians called the American Functional Medicine Institute. And when we're looking at gut and gut issues, what I really like is they have a four R's. And using that as kind of our, if you will, our outline, and then bringing back what subtle energy can do, that first R is to remove. We want to remove the stressors. And the stressors, as Jeff mentioned, can be emotional, or they could be psychic stresses, past environments and other challenges just because of what's going on. They can be allergens, which are in the food arena. It can be irritants within the food and the chemicals that are within the food. And then we can have harmful bacteria or microbes, the bacteria, the fungal mold, viruses, and parasites. So in the removal of the stressors, what I like to use of the subtle energy groups to remove the stressors, because what you're dealing with, something that becomes a stress, is a sympathetic stimulating behavior. What we want to do is not sedate the sympathetics, but upregulate the parasympathetics. So to upregulate parasympathetic behavior is a couple of products that are extremely good, work very well, have not found them to be disappointed with anybody, is stress relief,
which has been one of the older of the remedies, and a recent newcomer is magnolia stress. And I use magnolia stress because of the herbal tincture combined with the stress energy phenomena. It has a little better blunting effect and holding down the adrenal glands when folks are in that stress behavior. So as Jeff was mentioning earlier, the fast food behavior is kind of an oxymoron. In our concept and our culture, the feeding of us, the grazing and feeding of what we need to do should actually be in a controlled state and actually in a relaxed state, because we want to upregulate the parasympathetic system for the digestive tract to actually go online. So to remove the emotional stressors and to remove the allergens and irritants and harmful microbes, that's a matter of just kind of finding when you're working with your patient. If it's an emotional stressor, because when they're around the household, there's tension between mom and dad, there's tension between mom and the kids, stress relief or magnolia stress, a couple of drops and a little shot glass of water before you the meal actually has a powerful effect. If we're dealing with allergens and you know that the individual, because of your good clinical workups, and you know that they have IgE or IgG reactions, IgE is your fast response and your IgG is your slow response, takes about 4 hours to kick those up. But if you've done that kind of work and you know they're allergic to wheat and corn and citrus fruits and dairy and shellfish and peanuts and soy and tomatoes and a whole list as it goes on, and you know that this individual has trouble adhering to those protocols, what we also find is along with the stress relief is if you add rose absolute, a few drops in the little tincture, that will diffuse temporarily some of the actual stressors that are going on as it relates to an allergy. The harmful microbes, again, for everybody that has chronic fatigue and the fibromyalgia mode, the people that wander around from doctor to doctor looking for help, there's a Dr. Leo Gallen in his book, The Four Pillars of Health. He says approximately 70% of his patients that suffer with chronic fatigue and chronic fatigue syndrome, or that phenomena of chronic fatigue, actually have food allergies and gut dysbiosis. And the gut dysbiosis is generally the candida fungal mold, sometimes coupled with parasite and bacterial forms. So as a good clinician, you need to kind of go through those turfs, if you will, to discover what's there. And what we find is healthy GI and GI aid are helpful in mitigating against those particular microbes, because it's an energetic fight. Also, what you have is the mucosal territories and the digestion, as far as the small intestine for digestion absorption, can actually be upregulated. If we go back to the stressors, what are the stressors? They can be emotional and psychic. They can be allergens, they can be irritants of chemicals, and they can be the harmful microbes, whether bacteria, fungal, viral, and parasitic. Now, good clinicians, as you are, is that you need to sort out the things of the microbes, and you can deal with them according to your behaviors and what you do clinically. I find, that the recovery process of the infection is where the patient has trouble. Not using nystatin or any of the other things from the chemical world, or using some of the caprylic acids and the grapeseed extracts, those kinds of things, not necessarily that difficult to clear up the microbes. But when we're in the process of recovering from the illness, what I find is the GI aid really helps these individuals who are chronically in a gut dysbiosis, gut challenge, to get themselves back on track. We also want to do is re-inoculate the bowel. Once we've cleaned it up, once we remove the microbes, what you want to do is that you want to then re-inoculate. And a number of you use a variety of different preparations. I'm not going to go there. There are a variety of things of lactobacillus and bifidus. There are earth grain types of things. There are groupings or clusters, PB8, variety of different things that you've used and are helpful. Again, what I find is the undertone, the underlying phenomena, is the person is lacking energy at the digestive lining mucosa to be able to make things happen. Let's go back to the stressors real quickly. For those of you that are familiar with adrenal stress index and some of the adrenal testing, like at Great Smokies or at Laboratory Interplexus, there's a number of different specialty labs that will allow you to do saliva for adrenal stress. But one of the indicators of how stressed is this person's digestive tract is the secretory IgA mark that you get from these particular laboratories. Secretory IgA is simply the first line of defense of the body from the mouth and the mucosal membranes going through the digestive tract. And if the individual is low in secretory IgA, cortisol is actually, stress hormones are actually the culprit of destroying their initial line of protection. What we find is going back to removing stressors by providing stress relief and magnolia stress during daytime energy allows the person to diffuse, and they actually have the opportunity of having their secretory IgA come back. cortisol needs to be blunted and managed while they're going through their recovery state. So in the re-inoculation of the probiotics, which are commonly used around the country, what I find is it's very disappointing because the secretory IgA of the mucosal barrier is not being enhanced. And it can be enhanced by good nutrition, but what I find is you actually have to blunt the stressors. Then, of course, if this has become an angry gut, because 40% of the lymphoid tissue is actually in the digestive milieu, what you'll have is that gut-associated lymphoid tissue can be triggered very easily by irritants of chemicals, allergens, and microbes, and particularly the candida, yeast overgrowth, and some of the small bacterial forms of the Klebsiellas and others. What happens is in time, you'll develop a kind of a poking holes through the digestive milieu, and you'll actually end up with a leaky gut phenomenon. Well, how do we know if we have a patient just has irritable bowel, or whether they got Crohn's disease, ileitis, or whether they actually have leaky gut? Well, they generally have all those things combined, but the leaky gut phenomena, as we have observed, and as we've gone to different conferences and had others share with us, and we have this kind of aha experience, is that the individuals that have difficulty learning, they have this constant symptom of brain fog no matter what they do, and it generally is worse within 15 to 20 minutes after they eat. Folks who have poor concentration, poor comprehensive, and they just feel like they're stuck. They give us the symptom that I read and read and read, I study, go to school, and nothing sticks. It's like throwing stuff on the wall and just slides down. These folks say it's memory, but it's not really memory. What it is the brain is fogged, and they just cannot retain because the brain tissue can't focus. What's going on is neurotoxins being created from the digestive tract, digestive milieu, swirling through the holes of the gut, ending up becoming this leaky gut phenomena, creates a whole different system, which means we have to repair the gut. And many of you are very familiar with these things, and what you'll find are amino acids of glutamine and N-acetylcysteine and N-acetylglucosamine and even licorice extracts and a variety of different things that will actually help and support whey protein, whey powders, a variety of different things that are on the marketplace to help you obtain a handle on repairing that digestive tract. What I find is not, like Jeff had said earlier, you can put all the batter into the oven, but if you don't turn the oven on, you cannot make a cake. All you have is batter. And what I see time and time and time again is good clinicians giving patients good things, and the patient does not have the energy to manipulate it. And what I find very exciting with the subtle energy tools and their supplements, we have the opportunity to manipulate the energy, which will ignite and initiate the repair. So if you put the right things in, you'll begin to start to see the repair process take place. And then lastly, of course, is revitalize. Not only repair, not only re-inoculate, not only remove the microbes, but we want to revitalize this individual so they don't go back into that phenomenon. What started the phenomena to begin with most of the time? What starts the GERD? What starts the gastritis? What causes the irritable lumens? What causes the food allergies is stress. So we have to constantly focus on helping them de-stress. And subtle energy tools of stress relief, magnolia stress, tranquility, harmony, gives the mind the opportunity to deal with the stressors in the day. And then by providing GI aid and healthy GI, healthy mouth for those who have microbes in their mouth because of root canals and busted teeth and gums that are irritated and those kinds of things, which are leaking microbes in the rest of the tissues and down to the gut. But we want to revitalize. And GI aid and healthy GI and another product that we use a lot, which is Oxygen Plus, for the purpose of bringing up the oxygen tension and the energetics of the Krebs cycle, getting the system back on track, we begin to see the patient stay in a healthy state. So as a quick review of a number of things that are out there, folks who have leaky gut will generally have reactive arthritis, they have chronic pains, they'll have swellings that'll come and go, mostly in their lower extremities, but actually can be in the upper extremities. They have chronic immune dysfunction, meaning they get colds and they get irritable, they get allergies and a variety of phenomena just on a whim. They have the chronic fatigue, it'll come and go. They'll have the fibromyalgia, they'll come and go. Every time you test them, they have a candida overgrowth. And the reason that the candida is there, according to Dr. Raoul of the European world from Switzerland, saying that it's because it's a low energetic state. You see, we're supposed to be in our whole life cycle. Naturopaths have taught and preached this forever. We are born, we live, we procreate, we live some more, we die, decompose, go away. The phenomena is because of our devitalized food chain that the American consumer is consuming on a regular basis is lacking not only special nutrients, but also is lacking vitality, vital energy. The actual soil and the pesticide herbicide is actually interfering with the ability of the plant to actually develop its energy and create its auras and all the wonderful things that happen in the organic soup that it should grow in. And for those not familiar with this whole concept and cycle, it's Vitech, VITECH1.com, is an organic grower support team. When you read their literature, it sounds like Jeff and I talking to patients and to other clinicians. This is a group completely committed to revitalizing our earth because they've understood not just biochemistry, it's the energy of the soil that's been hampered because of what we've done to manipulate it. Whole different story. But the point is, when we have individuals who come in with a variety of illnesses, the common phenomena that I see on a regular basis, and I believe Jeff sees this on a regular basis, is that individuals do not have the energy to get well. And when you put substances in the digestive tract just by initiating digestion, you're going to drag 40% of the energies down, and they're already energetic. And you put good support systems in, all it does is the food rots, fermates. So by bringing in the concepts of energy tools with the subtle energies, what you can do is you can take exactly what you've been doing, but by bringing this in, you can actually get them to do better, quicker, faster than what you've seen before. So I'll close that down. Kick it back over to Jeff.
Absolutely. You know, the whole energy concept begs to the question of how frequently do we dose this and when do we dose this? And dosing the GI tract, I find, Dr. Davis, from my side, is different than how I dose the rest of the system.
Mm-hmm.
I like your concept of doing the stress relievers preprandial before we eat and getting the parasympathetic system to upregulate is a beautiful thing because putting food in when the system is already preloaded with stress is more distressing. And so relaxing it in the first place and then putting some energy in with the GI is very important. Most people don't realize that when we start to put food into our stomach, peristalsis stops. It stops for about an hour and a half. So things stay in the stomach and they get churned around in the stomach, but the small and large intestine don't really move for about an hour and a half. And then as the digestive contents get moved from the stomach slowly into the small intestine in little squirts, now peristalsis restarts. And the movement of that chyme or the chomped up fluid and the excretion from the pancreas and the liver and the gallbladder and the splenic juices and so forth all start this amazing concert of digestion, and everything starts moving. And so I'll, at that point, have people, especially if they are really enzymatically challenged too, that's when I'll have them take one or two enzyme capsules along with 10 to 15 drops of GI Aid in just a small amount of water, because I want to put some energy into that system as it's starting to really digest and absorb what's been ingested and manipulated around in the stomach for an hour to an hour and a half before the slow process of peristalsis begins again. And so you have to time the GI dosages with GI physiology. And in order to do that appropriately, if you're not aware of it, go to a physiology book and look up the physiology of digestion and the order in which things happen, and then use your logical reasoning and inductive reasoning to say, here's a good time to put a little more energy into the system to give it a help. You know, the microbial overgrowth, they're only there because there's undigested particles of food and things that don't get taken care of that they thrive and live on. And one of them is the low energy state. And that low energy state generates undigested and poorly digested remnants of food, which goes downstream and gets into the small intestine at the IC valve and into the large intestine, where whatever eats, whatever is left over, flourishes. And the more energy you have, the more you raise the energy state of the GI system from top to bottom, the less you have to worry about yeasts and funguses and parasites and so forth. So you'll get people that will have excretion responses and cleansing responses from the bowel, and yet you're not giving them all the things that Dr. Davis talked about, the caprylic acids and medically Nizoral or niacin or something like that. Because the body will do what it's going to do, and you're going to increase the milieu of good bacteria that are already there. And, of course, you do need to do reimplantation. But just by adding more and more energy to the GI system on a very frequent basis. So I have people dose their GI aid and healthy GI 6 to 8 times a day, especially the first few weeks, until they really build a swell, a groundswell of energy into that system. Once you raise that energetic state, you become aware of it. Your body becomes aware of the energy in your gastrointestinal system, and it feels great to digest and absorb and utilize your food efficiently. And you wind up eating a lot less. I don't know if you've seen that, Dr. Davis, but people have a phenomenon of when they're not digesting their food well or getting sufficient blood supplies of proteins and minerals and amino acids and peptides and so forth and so on and fats and fatty acids, what do? You eat more. Even if you have an inefficient digestive tract that's digesting 5% of what you put in instead of 20% as, you know, a relative number, you're going to eat that much more food to try and extract the nutrients. And so there's a direct reaction or direct relationship between gastrointestinal energy and obesity.
Dr. Wright.
And that's a phenomenon that's just a great side effect that we've picked up. And everybody wants to know, what's the big deal? What can I do? You know, I mean, they're making a fortune right now selling Cortislim or whatever it is.
That's right.
And all it is basically it's a carbohydrate metabolism and not even a really good anti-cortisol formula.
Cortisol responses, which is not very well at all.
No.
And the stress relief, Magnolia Stress, will do a terrific job. And then by increasing, just like you said, by increasing the energy in the gut, what obese patients are doing, because I did an obese study here about a year and a half ago with a different company, and the interesting phenomenon is those that are 150 to 200 pounds overweight, they are hungry all the time. That's all they think about.
Yeah.
And the reason is they're not digesting their food. They got anywhere from 18 to 35 pounds of undigested fat in their colon. They're tired all the time, and they're starving all the time, and yet they got food that they can't process.
Absolutely.
By increasing the energy to the digestive tract with the GI aid, what happens is you then perk up the system, and in doing so, then the cellular system is satisfied. The signals of not having what the body needs or the cellular system needs is being satisfied.
You know, it's funny because we are on either side of this great country of ours, and yet ultimately we see the same phenomenon by just utilizing these products. We just see it after a while. You just observe, gee, these people are losing weight. And when I do it, I go, gee, I feel really good on this, and I'm not eating near as much. I don't get as hungry during the day, and a little snack satisfies me, or a real light lunch because I don't like to eat when I'm in my office. I don't like to eat much. I'll just have little power snacks here and there. And every time, we'll do some GIA in water every time you eat. And don't give people one bottle of these things.
Right.
Give them a 2, 3, 4 bottles if they need it. Put one at home. Put one at your office. Stick one in your pocket. And get in the habit of doing this every time before you eat. And if you want them to have 2, have them blend them in one bottle. Unlike complex homeopathy or single-dose homeopathy or anything, the Energy Tools products maintain their uniqueness, their unique energy pattern, even when they are blended together.
That's exactly right.
And that's something we really have to understand about compliance and dosage. You know, we ultimately always come around to that. Well, how do you dose? Well, you dose real frequently with digestive issues. I know I have started to use this. We've talked about pediatrics before. You guys know that little kids are really near and dear to my heart because adults can make bad choices and live with them, okay? But little kids don't get the opportunity to make choices. They have choices kind of forced upon them. So when we get the opportunity to work with a child, it's a blessing for us to affect the child's life in a positive way with our type of therapeutics and medicine. And many little kids today, they don't get water from when they're born. They do get nursed, but, you know, doctors don't tell their moms to give babies water. And so we see little babies that are dehydrated. Even though they're nursing and nursing and nursing, they do need some water. And if after the first ear infection, the first little thing that they run them back to the pediatrician for and they get that first dose of amoxicillin or some sort of antibiotic, and now they've had their GI tract disturbed and their normal flora disturbed, if they've ever had it established in the first place. So with little kids, I use a lot of probiotics, a lot of bovine colostrum or colostrum extracts like Mulcosan, and I use a lot of GI Aid and thymus. And that's for the allergic people. Thymus and GI Aid together over time will gain a great success for you because the immune system learns to react to the food allergen.
Right.
And by modifying and strengthening the thymic response and the discrimination thereof, along with the GI strength increasing, you will help the person to eliminate their food sensitivities and food allergies. Have you seen that also?
Yes, exactly right. And there's a number of discussions out there as the CD4s, and you go from the TH1 to TH2 balance on the immune system profiles. And as more and more people are becoming compromised because of the dead and devitalized food and the heavily manipulated food lingering in the digestive tract, and with 40% of your lymphoid tissue of the body is actually in your digestive tract, what you're having is triggering of the IgG and the IgEs, and you're having a food allergy response that it seems to be out of control. In other words, there's been a number of my colleagues that have written articles that if you just randomly did IgE and IgG food allergy screen, 70-80% of the walking population out there has some form of food allergy to at least 5 or 6 different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what happens to us? People constantly come in and they're chasing the tails of the squirrel.
Exactly right.
And they walk into our office and they go, but I'm allergic to wheat, I'm allergic to corn, I'm allergic to pinto beans, I'm allergic to garbanzos, you know, and this laundry list of things because someone actually did run a test on them.
Right.
And if we ran a test probably on all of us, just as you said, 80% of us would have these reactions. But if you do GI Aid and thymus for 30 days or 45 days and run that same test again, guess what you're going to find?
Yeah, you're going to find a significant normalization.
Exactly.
Exactly right.
Yep.
Because, see, the whole point is, in the God-given design of our immune system, it is a negative feedback system. And what happens, it gets caught in a loop because we continue to irritate it. And we don't provide it with the balancing behaviors and the energetics to get it back on track. One of the little experiments I did is I went about 1,500 patients to get food allergy screens, and I did kind of a survey of those individuals, and what I discovered from them is two things, two phenomena. Phenomena one was that everybody who has a food allergy screen, they're allergic to the foods they eat. They're not allergic to the foods they don't eat.
Exactly.
Right? Then, phenomena number two, if you force them to start eating the foods that they don't eat, within 90 days they'll be allergic to those foods. So it's not the food. What it is a derailed system that continues to get negative feedback, and they continue to stay stuck in loops. And the problem is the energetics necessary for the immune system to modulate is not there. So when you add the thymus, which is the command post to kind of give signals and immune responses for the immune system, and GIA for the energetics for the energy systems of that, and of course coming off of the Chinese for the golden warmer and the other components that all it does, it's just not one focus. There's a number of different components in this energy profile that's coming with GIA that allows that whole system to come back on track. And you're absolutely right.
Great. I know I learned a lot listening to you guys talk, and I just wonder if there's any of the listeners out there that have questions of Dr. Marangel and Dr. Davis, or have some things that you would like to add in your observations in your own clinical experience. So I'd like to open the floor up.
I'm wondering what if somebody's doing antibiotics. Are any of these products consistent with that, or would they be wasting their time?
If I understand the question, I believe that if they are doing antibiotic, can they at the same time concurrently do the energy tools?
Yeah.
Yes, you can, and actually you can actually expedite the healing response.
Okay.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
What about if someone has been doing just about everything that you've mentioned right there, including using energy tools, and had a history of leaky gut, which doesn't any longer seem to be a problem, or apparently was not, and fibromyalgia, which has been in remission for a number of years, irritable bowel that was diagnosed with medical procedures and stuff, and there hasn't been any issues with that, as well as gastritis, and there hasn't been any issues for about 5 years. And the fibroid stuff have been under control for probably about a year. Then all of a sudden they end up, this person is going for diagnostic testing now to see if they have some weird autoimmune disease that is called pemphigoid or pemphigus. Ever heard of those?
Mm-hmm. Pemphigus?
Yeah. Pemphigus.
Yeah.
Pemphigus vulgaris or
right.
Pemphigoid.
Gosh, that's one to take another half an hour to talk
right,
about.
Right.
We've seen just a few cases of this. It's a very rare condition. I know the one that I did have success with was, I saw it came over from London, England. What I would look for that person is, what's the most recent shock trauma, or what is the most recent re-triggering of previous emotional stressors that pushed them a little further into this reactivation of mucosal pathology? That's what I think I'd like to have you consult with us on the personal level through the office about. Because if you look at where the mucosal tissue that pemphigus is in, okay, is usually in the oral mucosal tissue.
Yeah, it's in the mouth.
Yes.
And also there's possibilities in the eyes. Right now they're not sure if the eyes and the mouth
right.
are related or not.
And the embryological tissue from that can be either mesodermal or endodermal.
Right.
And there's some deep, old issues with that particular individual that need to be addressed. And actually, with some of this new thought that we talked about with the new medicine, they actually may be in a full recovery mode of their trauma. Their complete healing may be just around the corner, and it depends on what the next intervention is. A little more case history may help us win the day for that person.
Would I be able to talk to
you? I'm going to ask you to give us a call sometime, maybe later in the week at our office, and we'll try and help you sort that out.
Okay. You're Dr.?
It's Dr. Maringel. And if it's not you, make sure you get permission to consult from your patient.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're very rare cases. I've only seen, I think, 3 of them in 16 years.
Yeah, it's very rare. I've been doing just some research on it, and it's extremely rare.
Yeah.
The pemphigus vulgaris, I mean, up until a few years ago, was, well, prognosis was really, really horrible. But now with the steroids and stuff, they say it's, they put it under control that way through the medical system. But there's been history of chronic candida as well, so.
Mm-hmm. It's about as rare a condition as you're going to see.
Yeah, that's what I've been gathering.
So I'd like to talk about it off the call, because it's,
so
I doubt anybody was ever going to see one again. But it's, they're interesting.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes.
My name is Dan Strelsky. I understand the basic concept that you're providing energy, which is sort of supplying the necessary life force for a particular organ or system to function. I'm trying to get a more fundamental picture of where this system is. Is it like a template? Let's say we're looking at the liver. The liver has many different functions and intelligence to tell it how to do what it needs to do. And let's call this a fourth dimension aspect. I don't know if it is or not, but obviously it's an energetic one that we know is there, and we can influence it by using vital force products for them to provide the energy and structure in some way to make that organ function like it's supposed to. I'm trying to get a better idea of how this ties together. Can anyone help me with that?
I always see a vital force products as an organizing of the energy between the smallest particles that we're able to observe. More of a homogenization of the flow of energy in the space between particles. Fury was on, he'd explain string theory of the universe to you and dark matter and the physics of what we're talking about, a plasma physics. But there is a real reality to the organizing effect of the vital force energy tools, and they're counter-regulating disorganized, disharmonic energy forms in the body.
Well, is there like a particular frequency, for example, that creates a harmonious structure of these seen and unseen elements? Is that the key to what makes this work?
Some of them are elemental. Some of them are energies. Some of them are amplifications of herbal properties that we know are effective on certain organs and tissues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only partially party to and not privy to the whole process. And so Constance would have to answer that better for you. From what I do know and what we have observed, that about encapsulates it as best as the layman can
yeah.
easily grasp it, wrap her head around it.
Yeah, I know, and the guy that's working with this is a physicist, so he came up and discovered it. So obviously it's beyond the layman. But I think even get to the fundamental thing.
Yeah, if I can interject a couple of things just from several conversations I've had with Dr. Cron.
Yeah.
And this is a very bad attempt on my part to help kind of explain. Back in the day when Elvis was here,
mm-hmm.
Okay, if you went to a live concert and you were sitting in the front row, you would hear every octave and every vibration.
Okay.
Right? But he's no longer here, so we have some people who have an 8-track tape of his music, and that's not as good as the original, but can still get the feel. Then what's happened is we've got cassette recordings of it, and then we've gone to the little vinyl records, and again, with pops and hisses, that's difficult. But then all of a sudden, digital sound came along.
Right.
The computer was able to take the pop and hiss that's going on, eliminate it, and then actually take it to its endpoint and then recreate it. So when we see things, it's called digitally enhanced reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
The computer itself reconstructed what really would have been there back if Elvis really was singing, right?
Okay.
As an example, with a product called Cat's Claw, Cat's Claw has its certain frequencies. It's
yep.
got certain harmonics and
right.
certain patterns.
Right.
But Cat's Claw, when you take it from the plant, you disrupt it. To actually get an extract of the plant, you actually have to damage some of the energy of it to be able to extract out some of the raw material.
Yeah.
All right. Once you have the raw material from a biochemical perspective, you can do a gas spectrography analysis and an identification preservation photon NMR analysis and say, this is Cat's Claw and this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can give it to patients for the purpose of helping them with their immune function that's failed and really not have much of an effect. Then you give it to Dr. Urey, and he does his plasma generation activity with his subtle energy on it and actually bring it back as if it was still on the plant. Now give that to the patient, and they will be cured of their, one of the examples is Lyme's, Dr. Lee Cowan. So you take a product, give it to a patient, doesn't work. It should work, but doesn't work.
Yeah.
Then you give a product that's been energy enhanced of the product, and now it works to the point in 90 days they're cured.
I see what's happening here. He's got a way of analyzing the substance or the plant in its original state.
Correct.
Where it's generating and life force and it's connected into the rest of the universe and all this interaction is going on.
Exactly right.
So he's been able to come up with a system that can record this so he can duplicate it again.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I'm getting a better idea.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the
that
best
helps.
Illustration after several hours of talking with him on this and trying to get an illustration, an analogy. Finally, when I ran that by him, he said, that's as close as I think we can get to this. What we're doing is we're taking it back to where it was in its original state, and then what you're doing is you're taking it to the best, because just like in certain plants, you can go down to the Peruvian jungle and get cat's claw, but the thing of it is, because the vine swirls around and does different things, right?
Oh, yeah. All
is that within
6 inches,
you
yeah.
can have a significant change in the chemical compost of the cat's claw just because of climate change.
Yeah,
I have another question. Uh-huh. Go ahead. When you were talking about the gut and all that stuff, what about people who have no gallbladder and people who are having cholesterol problems and then the doctors are saying, oh, well, it's just hereditary, no other explanation other than that?
Yeah, we live in a schizophrenic day.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world where when the conventional medical doctor is stumped, then it is your genes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find very interesting is when you re-regulate the body and you provide the body with energy, then all of those different things will change. I actually had a gal that had a gallbladder removed. She's 56 years old. Her cholesterols were over 580. Her triglycerides were 1,300.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She had GERD. She was on 9 medications. Came to us, and within 3 weeks, medications were tossed in the can, according to her doctor. And within 60 days, blood cholesterol levels dropped to, if I remember right, it's 280. Her triglycerides dropped to 185. And when she took the lab results back to her conventional doctor, who had been in practice as a GP internist for well over 25 years, instead of saying, what happened, he says, well, it's about time the meds started working.
Well, that's the most typical response when you hear it.
Right, of course. So the point is, if they have their gallbladder removed, gallbladder is a gunny sac that just kind of holds bile, and it's supposed to release when fatty foods come down.
Yeah.
When they remove it, you got a drip going on a regular basis, so it's constantly creating a state of stress and irritation. It's an irritant. And if you can get the energy cycles up and you can kind of clean them up and do the good work that you'll do, even missing the part, you can actually get that to re-regulate. One of the little tricks we do, and I don't know if Jeff does this, but we use sesame oil, and you can actually put in one of these empty containers of the half ounce. I mean, we have all kinds of ideas of what to do with some of this leftover, because after you have a half ounce of the Soto Energy, then what to do with the container, you can throw it away. But what I do is tell patients to save it, put sesame seed oil in it, virgin pressed, and then what they do is they put about 20 drops of the GI Aid in it, or stress relief, or whatever we're working with. And then they can apply that to a reflex point. So in the gallbladder zone that was surgically removed, that area will still stay tender and irritable. And you can actually apply that to the area with stress relief combined with GI Aid, and that'll calm that reflex down. So it's like some of what some of you may be familiar with, some of the scar techniques of being able to re-energize scarring over meridians that have been clipped because you have blocked energy. And what you can do is actually temporarily re-regulate the energy through that zone that's been surgically manipulated.
Constance?
Yes?
I went and got my memory.
Oh, good.
That's Linda from the other room. She's going to share something that happened with a gal that had a stroke one day before.
Okay.
This is a little old lady. She's about 76. She's had previous little slight strokes. This one was pretty severe. The next day she came in to us, could hardly walk, just so shaky, weak. She looked so gray. Vision was having problems. She was having trouble thinking, clarity. And I just gave her stress relief, revive, and clear mind, and had her sip that in some tea. And within probably, 25 minutes, maybe 20, that shaking weakness, she was walking with a cane very carefully, and she walked out here pretty good.
Perfect.
After 1 week, most of that weakness is gone, dizziness gone, her vision started to come back, and I've had her do that twice a day.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that was fun.
To take somebody that in conventional sciences, they're stuck in that mode?
Well, she said, you saved my life. She
there you go.
Just gonna, you know.
There you go. So that, now you go home at
her
night.
Her son said, you go to the doctor and the ER. She said, no, I'm going over here to see Dr. Linda.
There you go. Good. The beauty is that you can help folks. And this is what I appreciate. And I don't say enough thanks to Constance and all of her hard work and her stressing over all this stuff. But she really is a godsend. Because without Soto Energy and the work that I've done over the last couple of years of working with them, numbers and numbers of patients that are struggling with all their issues would not be in a better state without it.
I believe that also.
It made all our lives a lot easier and a lot more pleasant, and our outcomes a lot more secure.
Yeah, a lot more fun and secure.
Well, I'd hate to practice without them.
Great. Well, good for you.
Well, thank you very much. I'll pass that along to...
your boss.
Yeah, to my boss.
You know, it's unfortunate Yuri doesn't get on some of these calls sometimes. And, you know, I know that he's busy. And we all need that pat on the back and the attaboy. Not in an over-exaggerated thing, but just in a heartfelt thing. So we really appreciate his work.
Well, I will definitely pass it along to him. And we've had some requests to have a call with Yuri on it where people can ask him questions.
Sure.
And so probably the next call, which will be April the 20th, we'll take the last part of it instead of opening it to just normal open forum. We'll put Yuri on the phone and let you ask him whatever questions that you want to ask him. There is one thing that I wanted to put out there regarding the digestive system, and that is GI Aid. We've made some improvements to it, and we are looking for people that are wanting to test it. So if you would call the office and let Kathy know, if you're interested in doing some experimenting with the new GI Aid, please put your name on the list, and we will send it out to you for testing.
Cool.
Is there any other questions?
Yeah, I had a few, if everybody's still awake. I'll try to make them quick.
Yeah, and I've got one, too, after.
There's some chakra energies, and I was curious if either Steve or Jeff have used any of the different chakras that may apply to the digestive system.
Oh, yes, I have. Third chakra, very, very effective. Also, if you get back to the stress game, because most individuals are wandering around with too much on their plate and the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and when they come to a meal, it's slam it down as fast as possible because they got to move on, and they're in constant ongoing stress. So in the neck and the forehead chakras,
yep.
We also find that. But the one that I found some significant benefit in a couple of stubborn cases was when we added the GI-8 and then added to that the third chakra, which was kind of a huge move. That was pretty cool.
Okay, and then still on the topic of digestion, the thyroid has some interrelationship there.
Exactly right.
What have you used to get the thyroid balanced and maybe in an adaptogenic mode? Because sometimes it's high and sometimes it's low.
Yeah, there actually is a remedy called thyroid within the subtle energy tools. There is a thyroid remedy. There also...
Thyroid chakra, too.
The thyroid chakra, right, which is what the...
Chakra 5,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, 5.
Right.
Okay.
The pilot.
And what you'll find is with the thyroid for the hypothyroid, we've had about 6 cases of hypothyroid conventional medicine worked up.
Is hypo too much or too little?
Too little.
Okay.
That with thyroid, along with GIA and stress relief, within a 60-day cycle, actually showing blood chemistries that are normal.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Okay.
One thing we haven't talked about tonight is the other end in chronic constipation, but I guess the buffered C, 1,000 milligrams per hour until diarrhea would work for that, wouldn't it?
Well, actually, that will take care of it, but what I find in those patients with chronic constipation is that they actually are magnesium deficient.
Yeah.
So there are several forms. I don't like magnesium oxide. There's an ionic form you can get from a company called Water Oz.
Water Oz.
Sounds kind of like the Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, it's called Water Oz. And it's ionic magnesium. It's actually the mineral magnesium is dissolved in water. And it's pure water. And the beauty is, it's almost like an IV. So when you give it to a patient, like an ounce at night, so we've actually taken dystonia bowels, a couple of children that we've had, and just by getting them started on this on a regular basis, they actually had normal bowel function.
Is there any danger of too much magnesium?
Nope.
Magnesium toxicity at all?
It's really hard to do that.
Yeah, the worst thing that happens is diarrhea.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought, but then I had read a couple of recent articles that talked about magnesium, but it was in relation to the autism site.
Well, what you generally have is that in those kinds of things, it's the type of magnesium, it's what the magnesium is tagged with.
Right.
It's not the magnesium that's the problem, it's what it's tagged with.
Right.
Yeah, this was magnesium B6 combination.
There you go.
Yeah.
B6, like in children, they can only tolerate synthetic B vitamins, you know, or lethal anyway. A synthetic B vitamin in our children, you can get some real nasty neurologic troubles. So what I do with our kids is we give them the ionic magnesium, basically about an ounce at night, toss in a couple of drops of stress relief.
Mm-hmm.
Make a little nighttime cocktail for the kids. They sleep well, and then what happens is that magnesium kicks up about 300 different enzymatically detoxing symptoms, systems in the body, reactivates the liver, does all kinds of wonderful, cool things. I really think that we have a fetish on calcium in our culture.
Times 10.
We have a fetish on magnesium.
Yeah. So this is someone who was diagnosed the old-fashioned term of lazy bowel when they were kids, and now they're getting close to 50, and their bowel has never functioned their entire life.
Sure. Start them on the ionic magnesium, get them about an ounce, and then add a little stress relief at night, make it a nighttime remedy so that when they wake up, they'll have the urge.
Right.
Okay.
Yep,
and
perfect.
Jeff, you got anything else to add to that?
If you want a magnesium or magnesium potassium that doesn't have a bowel tolerance, our Accelerate brand magnesium is a true chelate. It's truly biochemically bound to aspartic acid. It's not admixed to it.
Right, right.
And so you can overdose. The first sign of a magnesium overdose that's being absorbed in the bloodstream is euphoria, so it's kind of nice anyway.
Right.
so it really is.
Yeah.
So magnesium.
The R.
Yeah, our magnesium potassium aspartate doesn't have a bowel intolerance.
Right.
It gets absorbed. So there's two different methods to use it use your magnesiums.
Sure.
The other thing is that I'd like to add, a lot of times there's an energetic component in constipation that has to do with the Chinese say that a person that is a worrier or thinks a lot, they cut their energetic system in half somewhere around the chest. Instead of flowing the full length of the body, it short circuits and just flows from the chest to the head.
Right.
And foundation plus is a really good thing to add in if you have somebody who's a worrier.
Right.
Or someone that does a lot of thinking.
Yep. And first chakra, ground them in.
Yeah, and that sends the energy down, and there have been many cases where just foundation by itself,
people call in and report excellent bowel movements after using that. So that would be something that I would throw in as a little bonus.
Thanks for that. No, that's exactly right.
Great.
So if we don't have any more questions, I think there's some people on the East Coast probably it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, very much so.
Nighty night.
Nighty night.
Thanks, everybody. It was a great call.
Thank you very much, everybody. And as always, there's a 20% discount to anybody that calls in over the next 5 days.
Okay.
Good deal. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Costa.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jeff. Good night.